Good morning and welcome to an Aloha Friday edition of The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Beth Ann. We've been watching in the news how the new president of the Philippines is making quite a name for himself.
And for a number of reasons. You know that, you know, some might call him colorful, others dangerous. Since the election of Rodrigo Duterte last May, the Philippine relationship with the U.S. and with the Philippine people have been changing. He has launched his own war on drugs and drug addicts and told President Obama to clean up his own backyard. This week, he also told President Obama to go to hell. Rodrigo Duterte says he wants to end the joint military operations with the U.S. But is all this hyperbole and bluster, or is it something more? Patricio Abinales is professor of Asian Studies in the School of Pacific and Asian Studies, also the director of the UH Center for Philippine Studies, and he joins us this morning to help us negotiate some of this. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
This has got to be confusing for people here in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Who were able to vote in this election in the Philippine community here, the idea that there was such overwhelming support for this man, and now here we are, you know, 6 months later, with a lot of questions. How do you begin to negotiate what you see and hear from Rodrigo Duterte and what it is you think he's trying to get across?
I think first thing, people voted for him because he had one theme, which is he's going to end crime, he's going to end drugs. But very few people know about him. Partly because he's from the South. He's the first mayor who became president. So national media doesn't know anything about, didn't know anything about him until he ran for president. So they were expecting that. And then the other side of his personality came out. He's been very anti-American, not because of principle, but because of what happened in his city. There was an American who bragged himself as a bomb maker in 2004. The bomb exploded in his apartment. Then they arrested him, but then the U.S. Embassy came in and took him away. And that for him was a personal insult.
Because he didn't stand for the crime.
Yes, because they didn't inform him that you know, they were not going to keep him in the city. There's the other side of him, which people really don't know, that which is, yes, he kills. He has a death squad in Davao City, which cleaned people out, cleaned the entire city. I was there when he was doing my field research when he started that. And if you watch him, it's really true. He drives a taxi in the evening to catch thugs and hoodlums. And then he has this fantastic practice of, if they catch a thief, he calls on taxi drivers to line up at 8 o'clock in the morning and hit the guy one punch each. So Davao City is a fascinating place because only one of two cities in the Philippines where everybody stops on a red light at 2 a.m. And the entire city is no smoking zone. So there's a side of him that is people just realizing that he didn't run that city for 23 years just because he killed everybody. And so then that aspect, however, has been covered by the fact that he's launched his anti-drug campaign as a national campaign. So everybody's focused on that. Everybody also forgot two things. That this is a very pragmatic president. He's anti-U.S., but the center, one of the major offices of the United States Agency for International Development, is in his city. It operates there, and it's doing well. So now that people who voted from here realize that there's other things in him that's very contradiction, now they're confused.
But beyond confused, the idea of continuing to support someone who has this duality of personality. I mean, you call him very pragmatic, and you know that might be kind considering some of the things that we have heard about him and
Precisely.
That you have just talked about, the idea of just summarily killing drug addicts because they're involved in the drug trade. They have to get it from somebody. So if you kill off, you know, those who create the demand, then there'll, you know, be nothing left to supply.
Right.
Those things that we here in the United States, especially as we're dealing with opioid addiction and we talk so much about the compassion towards someone who is an addict, seems to be such a disconnect.
Yes, I mean, two things are happening here. On the one hand, if you view the drug problem in the Philippines from the national perspective, it's really not a major one. But he's talking to communities where in like my hometown, where the mayor is a drug lord, where your neighborhood cannot move around unless you pay the drug pusher. So that's, this is his populist theme. He addresses people at the community level, and people respond. That's why he has a very high popularity. Second is, people also in the community realize that if you play by the rules of the game, you, that fellow is not going to go to jail. It's expensive to hire a lawyer. It takes you 25 years for a Philippine courts to settle things. And Mrs. Marcos is still free. I mean, she looted the Philippines for $15 billion, and he's still here. So that sort of frustration with the legal system makes people turn around and say, okay, solve this for us. The interesting thing is, with the exception of one mayor, he hasn't gone up. And narco politics is really part of any Philippine political process. You don't win elections at the governor, mayor, and even at presidential level if you don't get money from the syndicates. And the question then is he going to do it? Is he going to go up? It's more popular to kill people at the community level, but then at a certain point, it's going to stop. People are going to say, okay, how about this mayor? How about this governor? In fact, he's done it in my hometown. He's accused our mayor of being a drug lord, but nothing happened afterwards.
So how concerned are you then, knowing what you know of Rodrigo Duterte's personality, when we hear things that suggest that he's going to make his own pivot toward, say, China, and obviously away from the United States in the way he's been talking for now quite, you know, several months, specifically toward President Obama, that seems to be a real matter of concern for how the U.S. continues to maintain a relationship with the Philippines.
Well, you can do it two ways. What does the military think about it? The Philippine military has just started their military exercise with the U.S. Marines a few days ago. Is the military going to say, yes, we're going to go towards China and Russia? I don't think so. I mean, this batch of senior officers rose to ranks because of what happened in the West Philippine Sea.
But after what you've just said a moment ago, if he has that kind of control based on fear, doesn't that also apply to them? Are they not in fear of potentially their lives?
Well, you have to realize that this military tried to overthrow presidents in the past. So it has a tradition of saying no. The second thing that you have to understand are the economic side. If you look at his economic team, they're very much in favor of free trade with the United States, closer ties with the United States. This is also a team that's fearful of China's role in the drug syndicates. I mean, a lot of the ecstasy, heroin coming from southern China. On the other hand, this is a team that knows that China is the big market for Philippine goods. So you have to play that card. You have to steer a middle way for him.
So as you see that potential internal conflict, perhaps mitigating what we see in the United States and the real relationships that will develop as we go forward, both with China and with the United States, you see that as being much more of a leveling?
Yeah, precisely. Look for the boring people, the economists, the army people. Because I have a friend who works in his media team, and the unstated rule with Duterte is he has to only speak for 3 minutes. Unless you stop him at 3 minutes, he goes off tangent. And that's him.
That sounds like someone else that we
Andrew
hear.
Jackson and Donald Trump.
We'll leave it there. Thank you so much
Thank
for
you
coming
very much
in.
For
I enjoyed it.
Me.
We'll talk again. Patricio Abanales is professor of Asian Studies at the UH School of Pacific and Asian Studies. He's the director of the Center for Philippine Studies. He was born in the southern Philippines and remains a Filipino citizen. His current research focuses on smuggling in Southeast Asia and what he calls the puzzle of why Filipino Muslims are pro-American.
Ugas ugali.